Meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through the annual public notice on June 14th, 2011. May we please have a roll call vote?
Mr. Dinkoff?
Present.
Ms. Krusty?
Yes.
Mr. Freda?
Yes.
Ms. Grant?
Yes.
Ms. Gregory?
Here.
Ms. Hofig?
Yes.
Mr. Kaplan?
Yes.
Mr. Sturgis?
Yes.
Ms. Sullivan?
Yes.
We have a quorum and may proceed.
Thank you. I'd like to ask everyone to please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The procedure for this evening's meeting will be as follows. I've asked the superintendent, am I okay? I've asked the superintendent to say a few words to the board and the public. We will then open up the meeting. I will go over some of the ground rules that we have in our bylaws pertaining to open discussion with the public, and public will have an opportunity to address the board. The primary purpose of this evening's meeting is to talk about the renewal of the superintendent's contract. After the public has had an opportunity to address the board will go into closed session to what we call executive session. And when we come out of executive session, we will not go back into public session, and there will be no formal action taken this evening. So to start the program tonight, I'd like to ask Mr. Carroll to please present to the board.
Thank you, Mr. Dinkoff. As stated, I was asked to just have some brief statements regarding my time here in the district. That time started July 2009 to current day, 2011. What I wanted to share with you is kind of where to start. What's the role of the superintendent? Well, when I talk to the students and meet with the children at lunch, recess, or in the classrooms, a lot of times they'll say, "Who are you?" And they look at my badge or ask their teacher. And over the course of the 2 years, in discussions, when I tell them who I am and what I do, they've started to give me some names for what I do. I'm the problem solver. I'm one of many in this district. The boss of the bosses, or the principal's principal is the other one I hear talked about. Some of the older students, the player coach, and my favorite, of course, the head cheerleader. And each one has a different role. The ones who say I'm the problem solver say, when we look at what goes on in this district and we see that we're trying to make progress, things are getting in the way, obstacles get in the way. We need someone who can be part of that problem-solving loop, and that's where the superintendent comes in. Boss of the bosses. That can be seen in many ways. As I describe my role to the children, as it relates to them, their job is to work and listen with the teachers so they may progress. The teachers do the same with the principals. And then the principals do that with me, and then my job is to make sure that cycle is complete, and I reach out to the children and see just how things are going on, how they like school, and what can we do to help them enjoy and learn. And it's interesting what you can get feedback about. Fifth graders talking to me about the responsibility that homework does create, but as well some of the busy work they don't need. And middle school students saying, "We love the world language we have, but why can't we have Chinese?" So these are some of the statements that come out as I talk to children. But I'm also, as I see it, the steward of the vision. What does that mean? Well, the vision is just that. Where are we going? Where are we and where are we going? And my job is to ensure that that is every part of every decision that we make. We tie that in. As well, for those who detract or attack, I have to defend the district, and I do that in many roles, not only here locally, but in the county and the state. I advocate for our district wherever I can. And lastly, I have to be part of a catalyst, a team of change agents. We have to look at progress as a sense of making a change. And sometimes that change is not as easy as you think. Sometimes it does require a change in the paradigm. And sometimes it costs and actually occurs that people have pain as a result of that change. That's part of my role as a catalyst. My starting point, when I came in, there were certain areas that I noticed that there were concerns, there were problems that were inherent to this position in this district, and I'd like to speak to some of them in these general areas. Student achievement. Our NJAS scores showed at the time that I came in that we, as you rate us in the DFG, the district factor group of I, we were lower than the district factor group in language arts for all our total students from grades 3 to 8. That stood out to me to say, well, we're doing good, but we can do better. Curriculum, not accessible. Well, what does that mean? Well, when I asked for a curriculum, I was told that, the server was on crashed. I said, okay, let me see a hard copy. Got a hard copy. I recognized it because I saw it before. I worked on it before in another district. It wasn't our curriculum. So I said, we need to change this. We need to turn this around. And I'll talk to some of the things that we're doing, but I was surprised that this district got the points it did on CUSAC as a result of that. But it did. Ironically, the one that we borrowed the curriculum from did not get their points on their curriculum. Huge item. Now, why didn't that come out first day? Why didn't I point fingers? I don't like to blame. I don't like to accuse. And as the superintendent, as the head cheerleader, a big part of my job is to recognize what's going on and see how I could help our staff, our teachers, our administrators, our whole organization move forward without undue embarrassment. Not having a curriculum is embarrassing. What do we do every day? We teach. Children learn. You need a curriculum to do that. You don't borrow someone else's to do that. And that's what we've been working on. Special education. I recognize there were too many out-of-district placements, and we had outstanding programs here already. And I charged our teachers, our case managers, child study team as a whole, the director of special services, to say, we need to do what we can to expand our programs, get our parents to understand that we can do the same right here in district. And beyond the idea that, yes, it's a cost saving, it's the right thing to do. Children should be taught in their own district. The inclusion model, as I was told and it was explained to me, was one of a collaborative method where two classes are teamed together. A special ed teacher is in one doing direct instruction, while a teacher's assistant, or paraprofessional as I know it to be, is in the other supporting the learning in the non-core areas. Those core areas are language arts and math. However, upon investigation, it seemed that many times children were being pulled out of both classes. Children were being taught in the hallway. That was out of compliance with the IEP. That's not the way that we should be doing inclusion. It should be a consistent method of collaboration. And I will explain some of the things I asked for and implemented as part of initiative to make this a more flexible program to our children's needs and our teachers' abilities, because we had some amazing abilities out there to get this done so that all students could be taught properly in an inclusion setting. Facilities, I walked in to many a languishing project. What does that mean? Well, there were things that had been left over from this building being built, additions being put on all the other buildings, as well as judgments and fines that were left out there to languish. One, 11 years. 11 years, I walked in and said, why wasn't this done? Finances, for as good as the work was done, there was no public trust. Anything we did was suspect. How do I build that back up? And communication, I felt, was limited and one-sided. So what were the initiatives? Student achievement, we start from the ground up. Professional learning communities. I pushed for our teachers to be the problem solvers. What are the areas they were looking for in as a group to say, this is where we need to address? Well, what is a professional learning community? Really, it's just that. We get our professionals to look at progress goals. Where do we see our children making progress? Where do we don't? How do we envision them making changes? Through research, through collaboration, we decide, here are some actions we're going to take. Here are some changes that need to be made. And through the chain of communication, up to the principal, up to the directors, up to me, we start to make those changes. And where need be, if I need to be direct, I went direct to teachers at a faculty meeting saying, I don't know if I'm hearing this correctly, but these are the parameters we're working with. What can we do? Columbia Writing Program, that came out right after looking at the S-scores. We needed help with our writing. So we started in elementary school, and we'll continue to bridge that up into our language arts in the middle school set, because language arts, as it is set for next year, the revised standard shows that it's not a standalone anymore, it's everywhere. So already we're looking at how do we cross-train, how do we make sure writing is not only in the language arts block, but it's in science, it's in social studies, it's in world language. We have to make sure our teachers have that type of training. And one of the ways that we do that and ensure that we are connected to the child at all time is response to intervention. And that's training that went on right now. That's the idea that all children should be addressed, their needs, anywhere in the continuum of learning. And one of the ways that I try to support that is a bridge program called SUCCESS. Students understanding core content, exceeding state standards. And we did that by pairing our unified arts teams in both of our lower grades, setting up twofold. Not only were those teachers going to be connecting to the curriculum going on in the classroom, but they were going to be pushing into the classroom and supporting the learning. So where we are not allowed to hire aides in the gen ed set anymore, we can utilize our teaching professionals to support the learning in the classroom. Curriculum, one of the things I inherited coming in was an online curriculum program. But what I liked about it was going to allow all teachers to be involved, not only in their curriculum, but vertically and horizontally, meaning across their grade level, they can look at all the subject areas, as well as above and below them, they can see where the children came from and where the children would be going and understand they're part of that continuum. And what we had to do was get, because we didn't have our own curriculum, is get everyone involved in that. In special education, looking at the inclusion model, knowing that it limited us to students that fit that model, they were either singularly or duly identified for math and language arts, but if a child also needed replacement in science or social studies, it's harder to make sure that child was getting services. And I think it took the some of the pressure off the special ed teacher who had to make sure they had to be in two places at once. So what we did was we expanded the model by allowing for a dual certified teacher, that is a teacher who's got general education and special education certifications, to take care of certain students who don't particularly need academic help, but they need behavioral help. So you wouldn't put that child in an inclusion class, therefore weighting that class or making that class harder on the teachers in there. You put him in a gen ed class with a teacher who can support that learning so that his needs, more behavioral, did not impact the learning that was already preset in that inclusion class. As well, for those students who were more than duly identified, they needed more help beyond the core subject of math and language arts, they would be supported by a team teaching situation where the same special ed and general education teacher were together all day long, supporting learning all day long for those children. And then as well, our collaborative model would be tied to a fixed schedule so that our special ed teacher did not have to be in two places at once, did not have to pull children out of the classroom, in another room or out in the hallway to do instruction, because to me, that was not inclusion. Facilities, some of the things that we were working on, the Void House, which had been put out there to by the board to say that we would look to grant that to a very worthwhile and dedicated cause. We found that group to do that for us and have been working ever since with them to try to get that done. It's amazing when I look at the way that you're supposed to convey land We did that in a way that we did all the work, and with their help, because they were nonprofit and getting started. Everyone else I talked to said, oh, you should have just given it to them to do. And I think because of our partnership, hopefully, even though it has been now 2 years, we're closer than ever. USTs are underground storage tanks that had been not being used, but left on the property. As I told the 11-year-old easement issue, when the first addition was done at Round Valley, it was causing runoff problems onto the Wepler Farm. That is the land that surrounded around Round Valley. And Mr. Wepler, as I reached out as a good neighbor to welcome myself, said, oh, are you gonna get the easement fixed and finally finish our lawsuit? I said, sir, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm gonna look right into it. And sure enough, as I looked into it for 11 years, this man has been asking for an easement that we could discharge onto his property, where we were impacting acres of his land because of the way our discharge was going out, not to a stream and a wetland, but right onto his property. And it seemed that for all the work, none of the board members here were here when he was coming to board meetings. He was not, and his needs were not being addressed. We did that. As well, we have outstanding DEP fines because of the work done at Round Valley after Hurricane Ivan, the outfall. That is where a discharge goes out to a creek from the system that we have at Round Valley. As well, the work that was done here to move the building back 150 feet when it was found that the drainage ditch that the engineer called the C-class stream in front of this building was actually just that, a DEP recognized and protected wetland, and there are fines outstanding for that that we just got notice of this year. These are some of the things that my office and the business office have been working on. Finances, with the help of the BA, we started off with zero-based rationale for every expenditure. And with that, our first year, we were able to reduce the budget by 4.2%, over $1 million. This year, to ensure that we did not miss the mark, because of the governor's statement last year talking about if your employees don't take a wage freeze, vote down the budget. This year, we wanted to ensure that we engaged our stakeholders and said, what else do you need to know to make an informed decision? And those are the areas that we looked at and brought in Have a Say and the Budget Podcast, reaching out beyond just our community in the way of our parents, but reaching out to Kiwanis and Rotary, the mayor and council again, so that everyone can make that informed decision. With that, we passed the budget the first time since 2004. And though I know it's been said that I might not have had much of a say in that or a sway, I will beg to differ. I believe in listening to our community members who were involved with us and gave us very objective and heartfelt feedback to say, this is what you need to do. You can get this done. We took that and we ensured that we utilized that in every step of the process. One of the things that I just jumped over, when I looked at it, communication, first and foremost, when I came in as part of the transition and watched a board meeting, the first thing that hit me was, you are not recording. That was a legal mandate that boards of education should be recording. So that the July meeting in 2009, my first meeting, we were recording. And from there, helped the board to go paperless wherever possible. Took that idea of paperless and reached out with the help of the director of technology and created a virtual backpack. Expanded that into our parent portal, and not only access for our middle school, but our fourth through sixth grade parents as well, so they can be informed about their child's progress. Tuesday tidings, I wanted to make sure that there was a consistent way that a parent knew the information was coming out. Not the helter-skelter, let's check the backpack, did you get anything today? Did you get anything this week? No, Tuesday tidings, as when we have information to go out, it comes out Tuesday, and you know to look for it. It was that sense of consistency that brought me to the Friday fun and facts. Yeah, it was great looking at the Tuesday tidings, but it didn't have the graphic user interface I wanted. There was too much fun happening out of the school that you visually could not see in the text. So I came up with the Friday fun and facts. And again, with the help of the director of technology, we put together a program every Friday to celebrate what was going on in this district. Now we've combined the two together. We use the style of the Friday fun and facts and the consistency of the Tuesday tidings. And that's what you'll see from here on out. I have a say I spoke to, as well as the budget podcast. What I'd like to highlight is just some of the things that I'm most proud of. First and foremost, as part of the interview process, the board asked, what would you do to get yourself up and running? And I told them, when was the last time you did a strategic plan? Because that's a great way for a district, a superintendent, a board of education, to get an understanding from its stakeholders, where are we and where do we want to be? So I initiated that process, facilitated by the New Jersey school boards. We updated our mission statement, which you saw when you first came in, and set objectives for the next 5 years. And true to a strategic plan, it may change. As part of the board retreat, we reviewed where we are so far and what we need to do. And a big part of that will be a community outreach. How do we make use of the volunteer programs we already have and make them even better? How do we engage our professionals and the network possibility we have in this community to the betterment of our children and our teachers and staff? As well, the first thing that I came in, there was a concern regarding the harassment, intimidation, and bullying policy. And when I looked at it as well, I thought it was out of date and updated the bylaws, policies, and regulations across the board with the help of the leadership team. In 1 year, we were able to update all of it. The community wiki is really where I would like to see this district going in the way of a two-way interactive dialogue with the community, not just the one way of telephone call, email, newsletter, but have our stakeholders say, could you give us more information about that? Have you thought about this? And not wait for the next board meeting or DCC meeting to have a voice. When I look at my role as a district advocate at the local level, I believe that I have helped mend the relationship with the mayor and council. Given that 2 years in a row, the mayor had said publicly that he supported our budget and really hoped for the best. And when I called him that night and let him know that we passed, he said, good for you. I'm really happy for you and really happy for the community. I've also reached out to the Kiwanis and the Rotary, as I said, and the sports coalitions in the area to say, what can we do to help each other out? We have this wonderful facility. We have this great place for our children to learn, but also to come to after school. What can we do to work together? And the Rotary and the Kiwanis gave me great input that no one is making use of, that as I stated in the new district newsletter that goes out to the township, we are going to make use of that and be the first in the county to run our programs through Kiwanis and our Rotary, which tie right into the service learning that we do already. At the county level, I've in 1 year became president-elect of my association. I am created and am the chair of the subcommittee, the school relations, school community and government relations committee, subcommittee. And in that, what I do is engage all the people outside of us who are making decisions at the state level and the county level, and have representatives at county meetings, met often with our assemblymen and senators, actually had input on Senator Daugherty's new bill that he is out there to say, this is what this district needs, this is what this county needs in the way of your support for our educational systems. Funding around this county is not fair. And he did his research, he did the math, and saw that for every dollar that goes out, we get 2 cents back, and it incensed him. And if for anyone who came to the meeting that we held here, he spoke about what he would like to do. One of the things he would like to do, and using Clinton Township as the example, with his school funding formula, instead of the $500,000 we got this past year, we'd get $11 million. $11 million. We get $22 million from the local taxes. Taxes could be cut in half.
And it really comes down to lobbying efforts to support our assemblymen, support our senators, so they do this on our behalf. And lastly, I know it seems ad nauseum now, but we passed the budget. And I don't think that was a fluke. I don't think that was just because of the interest we had in the board candidates. Yes, we had six people running for three positions, but of that, we had candidates who publicly said they were voting down the budget. We had candidates endorsed by people who publicly said they were voting down the budget. All I hope was they were coming out and voting, and hopefully they were going to be informed. And between the presentations we did and the podcast we put out there and watching the ticker as people came and looked and viewed it, we knew they were getting informed. And from what we saw on the community wiki, they had good questions. And we did our best to give them good answers. My vision for the district moving on, student achievement, continue on with the responsive intervention. When you look at the continuum of learning, you have our gifted and talented enrichment students, you have our general education, our success program, our basic skills, and our special needs students, all within that. We have to make sure that we're hitting all needs. Curriculum, with the Rubicon Atlas, not only do I see a day where our teachers no longer are writing their lessons every weekend, but as a team, they wrote them once. And now they're working on it together to enhance them every year, looking at the cohort they have, and will this curriculum, will this lesson and unit of study hit the needs of this group? Do we need to change things? Through a pre and post assessment, do we already know we can compact the curriculum? Great, here's the changes we're gonna make as a team. No longer independent, rewriting and rewriting their lesson plans. Makes no sense to the professionals that we have. And then, making sure that that access goes beyond just our teachers, but it goes to our parents. An overview, which is a board goal, that it's a user-friendly curriculum. Parents know what's going on in the grade level. They absolutely should know that. But for those who are interested, savvy, and have the wherewithal, they can drill down and see what we're doing with understanding by design and our use of essential questions. And our focus is going to be on the 21st century learning. We're 10% into the 21st century. And there are some things we need to address, the overarching goals of 21st century life, career skills, as well as technology and language arts now. And my biggest thing is I want to connect the learning in and out of the classroom to the unified arts. I know when you speak to your children, you say, what did you do today? First thing they're going to tell you is what they did in their unified arts, music. And when I taught kindergarten and went to class with my students and taught with the art teacher, taught with the technology teacher and started bringing the content in, what a difference in my children. They learned to read faster in my kindergarten class than they did when I taught first grade. It was amazing because of that connection. And that's what I would like to continue to do here. Special education, meet the needs of all students as well as the ones that are out of district currently, and grow our programs to support that. Be flexible in those needs. Know when a program needs to be reviewed and possibly changed. Facilities in the short term, solar. We have networked with some people who say, you can, instead of paying 16 cents for your kilowatt hours, we can maybe get you 8 cents. Well, I've also reached out to people who say, I can do it for free. I can work out a program where I am making so much money from the federal government and my tax incentives from the state, which end December 31st of this year, that I get free energy. I looked into it. That's right, they do. That's $651,000 back into this budget. What do we do with that? The board has great ideas for that. Energy savings, we just finished our audit. We want to look at how we're going to utilize that to continue to save money. And athletic fields. One of the biggest sense of non-closure is this building. There was a last change order, you have to move the whole building back. There were supposed to be 9 playing fields out around us. 9. There was room for 2. They didn't get done. There were future sites across the way. They never got done. And this is something that this board is actively looking into. How do we do that? How do we stop busing children to Bunt Park and be able to utilize our own land? Finances, moving forward. Flat taxes every year is going to be our goal. Tax decrease, hopefully, will be my achievement. Save jobs every year, not look to outsource, not look to cut positions, RIF positions, expand programs wherever possible, and do this by increasing revenues. We're already looking at certain areas where we would be able to create what's called an enterprise fund and put those monies towards other activities, including pay to participate, and as well continue to pass budgets. I've told the leadership team, I've told the board, if we can pass a budget, we'll change the culture. We'll see that the community is making the right investment, and we continue, hopefully, with that momentum to make changes for the best, to progress in all levels to help our children. And we're only going to do that through our consistent two-way dialogue. I recognize in any position there are hits and misses. I know that there will be some that will come out tonight and remind me of some of those misses. I thank you for that. I call that critical friends in education. And as the board evaluates me every year and gives me goals, they also give me feedback. Where are the areas of growth? I tell children, especially when I was principal doing discipline, no one's perfect. That it's just not possible. Everyone makes mistakes. But truly, our gift in learning is recognize those mistakes and see if you can learn from them. So I welcome the comments this evening, and hopefully with that, there may be some need for me to follow up so that I can get it right next time. I thank you, Mr. Dinkoff, for this chance, Board of Education. I will now turn it back over to comments from the public.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Again, can you hear me in the back? Okay, the procedure for this evening, and again, the primary purpose is to receive feedback, for the Board of Education to receive feedback from the community on the superintendent's contract. As I'm sure most of you are aware, the board will be voting next Monday evening on whether or not to renew the superintendent's contract. So, if you would like to address the board, I would remind you to come up to one of the two microphones, state your name and address, state your concern, your comment, your question. I would ask you to limit your comments to 3 minutes. All right, that is part of our bylaws, to limit your comments to 3 minutes. After everyone in the audience has had an opportunity to ask whatever questions they would like, whatever comments they would like to make, concerns they would like to raise, if we have time, if time permits, you can come back up and readdress the board. And that would be by a consensus of the Board of Education agreeing to that. But initially, it'll be 3 minutes. Once you've reached that 3 minutes, I will remind you of the fact that you've reached the 3 minutes, and we'll give you a couple seconds after that to conclude your comment, concern, or question. And at this time, the meeting is open to the public.
Nick Arcadella, 73 Old Mountain Road. Mr. Dinkoff, you've already abridged our time to speak by months. It's embarrassing that this board had to be intimidated by the public and by some of its newest board members to even conduct this meeting. Mr. Carroll's presentation is the beginning of a lengthy debate, especially since most of his comments and claims are highly debatable. And in fact, I think what he's done here is he's shown up to take a final exam after the lesson book and the grade book is already closed. The Board of Education has failed to conduct a thorough public process on this matter. This is too little and it's too late. The stakeholders have not been properly assembled and convened. There have been no public work meetings on this contract review. For this reason alone, the Board of Education cannot defend a yes vote on Mr. Carroll's contract renewal. The only action the board can defend, unfortunately, is a decline to renew Mr. Carroll's contract. Earlier this year, under new state law, public employees started paying 1.5% of their salary into health benefits. Prior to that change in the law, Mr. Carroll negotiated a contract for certain administrators, including principals. They were grandfathered to protect their 1.5%. The 3-year deal they got went this way: 0% the first year, 4% the second year, 2.5% for next year. When you add in the 1.5% that was protected, they effectively got 1.5%, 5.5%, and 4%. The average, 3.67% per year. I believe this contract was approved with abstentions by the newest board members at the June 9th meeting. Now, this is the offer that Mr. Carroll published recently in the press for teachers, informing our community that this year, last year, teachers would live with 0%, this year 3.5%, next year 2%. That's an average 1.83% increase across the 3 years per year, half what he gave to the administrators. Once you deduct the 1.5% that the teachers will have to pay in the health care costs, they basically get 1/3 of 1%. The teachers are asking 3.5% per year, which is less than the average the administrators are getting. But it's actually even worse than that, because the Lebanon bonus that's paid to our full-time employees gives them a massive bump. Our business administrator, Ms. Leonhardt, earns $18,369 above and beyond her salary. That's an effective 17% salary boost. Director of Special Services earns over $7,000 above salary, a 6% boost. Assorted staff earn over $4,000 extra apiece, up to 10% extra per year apiece. It's over $51,000 in money that's paid to full-time exempt employees above and beyond their salary. Mr. Carroll said recently in the press, and I quote, "The board's proposal reflects the need to control costs given the new 2% cap on property tax increases and the community mandate to spend school district tax dollars wisely."
Mr. Corcadellis, that's your 3 minutes. Could you please finish up?
Mr. Carroll says it is simply not feasible to pay salaries at the desired levels in the current economic climate. That's what he said about the teachers' contract negotiations. While he has no problem supporting big bonuses and increases to administrators, up to 17%. I could go on, and I will go on, because I'll be back. Mr. Dinkoff, procedurally, as a resident, a taxpayer, I am very offended that you're wasting the time of the public by not having meetings way in advance. I'm offended at the fact that I only have 3 minutes to tell you what I should have been able to tell you and the rest of this board over a series of many meetings over a period of months, which would be no different from other big initiatives that you've undertaken over the past several years. I've got plenty more to tell you. Mr. Carroll just took a lot of time to present his case. He's had months to do
Thank
the same
you, Mr.
thing and has
Mr.
never done it.
It's now 4 minutes. Thank you very
You're
much.
You're welcome,
for
Mr. Dinkoff. It's not enough time.
Thank you.
Mr. Dinkoff? Yes.
Yeah. Before we take our next comment from the public, if anybody on the board would like to respond, please feel free to do so.
Yes, thank you. I would. I actually have a few points of fact that I jotted down. Mr. Corcadillas, thank you for your points, but there are a few things. Number one, regarding the 1.5%, well, let me step back. Number one, Mr.
You're out of order. You're out of order. According to our bylaws, when someone gets up and addresses the board president or a member of the board has the right to respond to the question, the comment, or the concern being raised by the public. And you could look that up in the Clinton Township Board of Education bylaws. Please proceed, Mrs. Christie.
These are merely points of fact. Mr. Carroll did not give anyone anything. Any contracts that are negotiated in this district are negotiated between the Board of Education and the appropriate bargaining unit, whether that be the Clinton Township Education Association or the administrators group. Therefore, Mr. Carroll did not give anyone anything. Number two, regarding the 1.5% that has been discussed, that has to do with the healthcare benefits, that 1.5% was negotiated and discussed long into the spring of 2010 with the CTEA. The teachers were offered negotiations, they were offered proposals that would have allowed them, to use Mr. Corcadillis's word, to grandfather the 1.5%. Those offers were rejected. We worked, this board and the negotiations committee worked through May of 2010 to have them grandfather that as well. The negotiations broke down and it did not work out. So again, the administrators were not grandfathered. Point three, regarding the salary boost to Lebanon Borough, that's not anything new this year. The stipends that are given to the various professionals has been in play for many years. That's not new this year. That has nothing to do with this year's contract or last year's contract. That has been out there. It is not new. Therefore, Mr. Carroll did not give them that this year. We can go on regarding statistics if you care, Mr. Dinkoff, but those are the points of facts I'd like to make at this juncture. If any other board member would like to add.
Can I make a comment?
Go ahead, Grace.
Just to also point of fact, early in Mr. Corcadillo's statement, he made the comment that it took three new board members to intimidate the existing board into having this meeting. That's not true. I mean, I sat in on the executive session. I think the entire board was in agreement that if the public wanted another meeting, we'd have another meeting. And I don't remember a huge amount of dissension on too many board members' part about that. So I was very interested in having another meeting. So that's just not so.
Thank you, Grace.
Hi, Sue Axmathy. I'm a resident, 157 Cokesbury Road. I also work in Round Valley School after school. I want to say just a small bit that...
I'm sorry. We need to... Could you please state your name again?
Sure. Sue Axmathy.
Can you spell that last name?
Sure. A-X-A-M-E-T-H-Y.
Thank you.
Don't take that out of my 3 minutes, please. I work in Round Valley School, and I'm very glad to come to the board meetings to actually see Mr. Carroll, because I have never seen him in 2 years come to the after-school program, and we are right next to the board offices. So I'm glad to get this close to see you. I would like to give the majority of my 3 minutes back to that gentleman who was speaking before, because I think he has the information that I want to know that I don't get to read either in the paper or I get to hear when I come to board meetings. So can I relinquish my 3 minutes to that gentleman?
Mr. Corcadellis will have an opportunity to readdress the board.
But I might not be here. I don't have all night.
We don't have all night either.
Okay. No.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Guy Pulley, 25 Regional Road. All the teachers out there, you know I love you. I will stand up here and fight for your rights. I know a lot of you are not actually members of this community, so it's kind of a tough thing. Clinton Township, I've never seen a Democrat on the ballot for mayor, and it just strikes me as very interesting that we're wasting all this time here talking about this issue. You guys all seem to be looking for a villain. And truly, I have seen somebody have to make very tough decisions and fight very hard and do some awful things, but not a villain. A person who has fought tooth and nail against what I see as a true villain against teachers, and that's our current governor. And to have a politician stand up here and be applauded by teachers, I'm kind of ashamed, I gotta tell you. I love you, but when you applaud this politician standing up here, it really upsets me, and I'm not gonna have any part of it anymore. So, see you. I gotta tell the board, this is your decision. We don't live in a democracy. This is a representative government. It's your decision. We voted for you. You decide. If your conscience is telling you that this man is doing a good job, this person who's brought us into the 21st century is doing a good job. It really isn't, I don't think it matters so much at this point what the rest of us say. I think this is just an opportunity for people to get up here and be spiteful and say nasty things. And I don't think we should have to listen to certain people do this week after week after week and say, well, we never have a chance to say anything. There's plenty of venues for you to get your information out. Plenty of venues. And people don't have to cede their time to you to be vindictive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we commenting on that?
Go ahead, Mr. Frieda.
Yeah. We can comment on that?
You can comment, sir.
I think it's not a matter of who comes up here to speak, whether they're the ex-mayor, whether they're a politician, whether they're John Smith. I think it's a matter of allowing the public the right and afford them the opportunity to come out. We want to be transparent. We want to be accountable for our actions. And I don't think we should be singling out any specific individual. We have a right to come out and speak. You want to come up and speak, you come up. It doesn't matter who you are. You can speak many different times on many different topics. It doesn't mean that you're the same old, same old. If you're going to bring something new every time you come up to speak, well, then that's commendable, I think, no matter who you are. I think the process is what we're looking for, to allow the public the opportunity to come out here. And we shouldn't be saying that everybody's come out here spewing venom. These are people who want to speak heart from the heart. Whether it's good, whether it's bad, or they just want to sit in the audience, they should be allowed to come out, and we should afford them that opportunity. And I think we did the right thing tonight as a board to do that. So I disagree that, you know, people are just going to come out and spew. They got in their car, they took time out of their lives, they felt it was an important issue to come out here. I think they should be commended, whatever their views are, because that's the proper policy. This is a democracy affording the people the opportunity to be heard. Just like when you vote. You want to choose to vote, get in your car and go vote. You want to stay home? Stay home. You want to get in your car and come out here tonight? Come out here tonight. That's what we should be doing.
My name is Jean Phillips, 115 Petticoat Lane, Annandale. I'm speaking from two perspectives this evening. The first and most important is as a parent of two kids in the district. The second is as a professor of human resource management with considerable expertise in leadership, in staffing, in performance management, and in handling performance-related issues. First, I'd like to say that leadership is first and foremost about trust. It is a relationship. It is something that is to be respected, something that is to be done collaboratively, particularly in an educational environment. Mr. Carroll cannot know all there is to know about decision making, yet he persists in making decisions without the full input of all stakeholders. This transcends time, this transcends decisions. Big decisions, small decisions, it doesn't seem to matter. Very autocratic decision making style, not collaborative, not what our community is about, not what our teachers and schools deserve. I'd like to focus my comments on the Board of Education's published student achievement goal statements and strategies for 2010 to 2015. To me, goal achievement, goal accomplishment, and the behaviors done toward those goals are what an individual should be evaluated on, particularly in a leadership role. First, class sizes will be below state average in all grades and subject areas. This is a definite fail. Our district class sizes are typically above state averages, despite our being an I socioeconomic district. Mr. Carroll's decision to participate in the questionable school choice program, again with limited input, will only make them larger, despite his claims to the contrary. Second, the district will consistently implement a rigorous curriculum grounded in NJCCCS and is reflective of the needs of a 21st century learner. Again, a clear fail. Mr. Carroll has introduced no strategic curriculum plan, despite vague statements this evening to the contrary. The curriculum is falling behind, and our kids don't even have current and accurate textbooks. In some cases, they have no textbook at all. Mr. Carroll seems more interested in piecemeal purchases like iPads than a long-term plan and decisions made consistent with the coherent strategy. Third, the township will utilize comprehensive assessments to ensure students will perform at or above our district factor group on the NJASC. NJAS scores have not risen during Mr. Carroll's tenure. Again, a fail. Fourth, the township will identify individual student needs and provide appropriate programs to maximize student learning. Again, across the entire range of learners, from special ed to the gifted program. Mr. Carroll has decimated our previously successful inclusion program and compromised the development of dozens of children by hiring part-time assistants just to save money on benefits costs. The only rational vote is to not renew Mr. Carroll's contract. He's a poor fit with what our district needs and deserves, and what we need to move as quickly as possible to get the knowledgeable, trustworthy, collaborative leadership in place that we need to restore excellence in our schools and take our kids successfully into the 21st century.
Ms.
Reappointing
Phelps,
Mr. Carroll,
that's a
my
three
final
minutes.
Comment, will lead to more failed budgets, continued lack of trust in the BOE, and a continued loss of the teaching talent that is the backbone of our schools. Please listen to what a wide variety of stakeholders is telling you and has tried so hard to tell you as clearly, loudly, and respectfully as possible and vote against his renewal. Thank you.
Thank you.
The clock?
Go ahead.
Okay. Rachel McLaughlin, 2 Squires Lane, Lebanon. Before I came to the board meeting tonight, I actually emailed all board members. I didn't want to waste paper on your Going Green initiative. So I actually emailed you something called the Interstate School Leaders Licensure Consortium Standards for School Leaders. I think that when you make this decision tonight or on June 27th, you should be informed decision makers. And you should know that Mr. Carroll, as a school leader, has a series of standards that have been developed and accepted in 35 states, including New Jersey. There are 6 standards that each school administrator is held accountable for. The intent of this document is to stimulate vigorous thought and dialogue about quality educational leadership among stakeholders in the area of school administration. A second intent is to provide raw material that will help stakeholders across the education landscape enhance the quality of educational leaders throughout the nation's schools. In this document, there are 6 standards, and among them are indicators on how you could evaluate whether your school leader is effective. I think listening in the audience tonight, if I knew nothing about Clinton Township, I would say that Mr. Carroll had done a very nice PowerPoint presentation. But as I sat there taking notes, many of the initiatives that he took credit for did not actually start with him. Particularly professional learning communities and the Columbia Writing Project had already been established prior to his tenure here. So I think that when we look at his accolades that he has put on the PowerPoint, we need to really review whether or not these are initiatives that were created by him and whether or not he continues to be the right fit for our community. So I would ask that you honestly look at the standards that I sent you and be reflective thinkers, which is what we ask our students to do every day, and honestly answer to yourself, is this the person that we see leading our schools for the next few years? Thank you.
Thank you.
Barbara Vogel from 15 West Street, 15 Cobblestone Lane in Annandale. I have lived in the township since I lived on West Street for 19 years. And one of the first things I recall when I moved here was the, termination of the contract of the current superintendent, Mr. Harrington. And I don't know how many of y'all were here then, but I do have a concern that we tend to have a one-and-done attitude towards the superintendent's position. From my experience in business, if you do have a problem with someone's performance, there's many options, including going over what the problems are, and I think we all know, and working on it. I know a lot's probably been said before. I had another meeting. I could not be here for the entirety, so if I'm repeating anything, I apologize. I know how valuable everybody's time is, especially all the time that the board members put in. I would like to say that I have what I guess I would say is a medium amount of involvement with the school, two children in the district, one who's in seventh and one who's in third, and I was on the Patrick McGarren ad hoc committee for the environmental issues. The short time that I've interfaced Mr. Carroll, all my dealings have been positive. They've all been professional, as they have been with his staff, and I certainly appreciate that. I know that there's a lot more to the nitty-gritty of the education system. I won't and am unable to comment on that, but I will say that I have seen positive improvements in many areas in the schools, including class size for my daughter, who now has 18 in her class, and that's a first. So thank you, and I wish you a healthy decision.
Thank you.
Hi, Stan Gulley, 115 Petticoat Lane, Annandale. Before I begin, if you will just allow me maybe an extra minute, because I have a couple of definitional things that I want to talk about in terms of the district category and so on is pertinent to the conversation at hand. I also want to take the time to thank the board and Mr. Carroll for coming in and presenting the information and allowing public input. It means a tremendous amount to all of us. So as to the definitional issue, I want to highlight, probably most people know, we are an I category and in the district factor group. What an I category means is that people in our district have families with higher levels of education, higher levels of occupational status, lower levels of unemployment, lower levels of poverty, and higher median family income. And the reason this is important is because I level districts usually have more resources, more salaries for teachers, and so on. Okay, so now I'm ready to begin my comments. So if we look at, this is known as socioeconomic status. If we look at socioeconomic status, research has shown it's correlated between 0.64 and 0.75 with student achievement. Now this is like the correlation between height and weight, just like you wouldn't expect to see a 6'3" person weigh 120. You wouldn't expect to see a district I level group performing poorly on student achievement tests. So if we take a look at the data, it was said earlier that the student, the class sizes are improving. But if we look at Spruce Run, we see that Spruce Run is the only one well below the state average of 18.2. Its class size is 16.3. If we look at Patrick McGarren, Round Valley, and Clinton Township Middle School, we see 22.2, 21.6, and 22.3 respectively. Now, if we look at this, the student-faculty ratio, we actually see that it looks pretty good. We have lower than state averages in terms of students to faculty. That means we have few students relative to faculty. This sounds like a good thing until we look at the investment. If we look at classroom salaries and benefits, we were 8% below the state average last year, and now we're 13% below the state average in terms of salaries and benefits allocated per classroom expenditure. Now, how does this happen if we have a lot of faculty keeping the faculty-student ratio down, but the costs are well below the state average? I want to remind you now, we're an I-level district, so those state averages include those A districts like Atlantic City, Camden, the troubled socioeconomic status districts, and we're below that. Let's take a look at the And then you can look at the straight faculty salary. They're 6% below average. I was frankly shocked at these numbers because I-level districts do not normally have below average investments. If we look at administration, we see that a year ago it was plus 2% above state average in terms of administrative costs, but now it's plus 6 above the state average in administrative costs. Well, you might say, well, they're just trying to equate things because of inflation or whatever. Well, the state average rates of change were 4%, but we changed 9% in the last year. Okay, so, well, perhaps the problem is we're taking those monies and we're investing them in the classroom, general supplies and textbooks. Well, if we look at that last year, we were 8% below the state average in classroom, general supplies and textbooks, and now we're 13% below average. Did I mention that we're an I-level district? I think I might have mentioned that. So what is the impact on this? Well, some of you heard me speak in a previous meeting, and I mentioned that I'm a professor at Rutgers University. I didn't mention that I teach multivariate statistics, so I also know something about statistics. I looked at the years of experience in our district and for administration. We're below the state average in years of experience for administrators, and we're below the state average in years of experience for our teachers. The reason this matters is I can show you the citations. Anyone who's read my letter knows I have citations. So I can show you.
Mr. Gulley, we're at 3 minutes. If you could wrap it up, please.
Thank you very much, sir. The final statistic that I want to tell you very briefly, I looked at the New Jersey ASS scores. There were 14 New Jersey ASS scores. 9 of them were negative. 5 of them were significantly negative, looking at the last 1 year change. I'm quite sure that those numbers are right. There was 2 positive trends. One of them was in the team teaching model that Mr. Carroll tried to dismantle. One was flat. Thank you very much.
Thank you.